Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
Right, and we are back with another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown, joined once again by the full crew. And it is officially draft season for Climbing the Pocket. Tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to talk draft real quick, but then we're going to jump right into our first ever CTP mock draft, going through all the picks in the first round, giving a little bit of explanation as to why. Going to be a good time, but before we get to all that, obviously we got to go around the room, say what's up to the fellas. JR, QB1, Mr. Draft Season, how's it going, my man?
Good, man. It's another day closer to the draft, so I'm excited to get this mock draft going tonight.
All right. And how's the big board coming? Getting the final touches all done, or are you feeling good? Where you at with everything?
Yeah, still plugging in some scouting notes and some measurements and height and weight stuff, so excited about that.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Miles, Mr. Mock Draft, Miles Gorham.
What up?
Draft season, how you doing, my man?
Good. 3 weeks. Was it 3 weeks now? Can't wait.
All right. Now, how are things, man? How's Teddy? Have you done anything heroic since the last time we talked to you?
Things are good. I haven't done anything that isn't out of the norm. Heroic.
Just the usual mile heroic.
Yeah, you know. Okay. I wake up in the morning kind of thing. That kind of
cape on, you know. Okay. Yeah. All right. And last but certainly not least, the man, the myth, the legend, the NFL draft trainer extraordinaire, Saxy Prince. What's going on, my man? How you doing?
Yeah, I think it's fairly accurate to say NFL draft trainer. You know, you got to train your mind as much as you train your body. So liking being part of that process. But no, it's been good. I work again this weekend, so I had a day off today, so it was nice to just, just relax, watch Fruitvale Station. Yeah, it was a cool day.
Hold up, on your day off, you decided you were going to watch Fruitvale Station?
It was a sad part of the day.
Bringing yourself down. Well, I'm glad we can be here to bring you back up again, because Fruitvale is sad, man.
It is very, very sad. It starts off sad. It's good, where you're like all happy getting to see like the relationships and stuff, and then it just ends on just a terrible, terrible note.
Yeah, terrible. But anywho, let's just change gears before we all end up depressed on this episode here. And you know, I'm gonna ask y'all a question, because it's something that people have been talking about a lot this off season here is, you know, what's the best way to build a team? And especially what's the best way to build a team around your young quarterback, or really, I guess more importantly, your quarterback on a cheap rookie deal. And it seems right now with two teams that we kind of have in that situation, or there's a handful of teams, so I guess really I won't limit it to the two that first came to my mind, but you have the Rams, who are kind of started last year, it seems, going out and bringing in talent, Alshon Jeffrey going around and continuing to add pieces around Carson Wentz, but they're committing to guys and giving them contracts and kind of building what seems to be a team that could last for a long term. Hopefully it'll all stick together for them. Then you have the Rams, who really seem to just be going out and spending a lot of money, but on short-term deals so that they continue to have cap flexibility down the road. You have teams like, you know, Kansas City that, you know, again, they brought in Mahomes. He's going to be the guy. And so they went, they made the investment to bring in a Sammy Watkins to build around him. The Bears, similar situation with Mitchell Trubisky. Browns, don't know who the quarterback will be after, beyond Tyrod, but similar thing, bringing in weapons. So I guess the question I had for you guys is, as you look around the league at teams that are currently building around a younger quarterback, which philosophy or which teams kind of build do you like the most and why? And I'll start with you on that one, JR.
I like the Eagles the best because I think they're loading up at the right positions and they're still giving themselves some flexibility as well, as opposed to the Rams situation where they're bringing in the right positions. But they're bringing in a bunch of huge personalities as well. And they're making Wade Phillips' job extremely hard and Sean McVay's job very hard as well. Now, I'm not saying they won't be able to juggle those personalities, but they have a lot of alpha personalities in their locker room, a lot of guys that are used to that superstar treatment as opposed to the Eagles situation where they're kind of getting more of the lower tier role players or guys that really know their roles, and they haven't really been treated like those superstars like their previous stints. The Rams have guys, you know, you're bringing in Ndamukong Suh, Marcus Peters, and Aqib Talib, who are those high echelon guys that are used to getting that star treatment or being some of the highest paid players on their team. And I know an addition the Eagles made this offseason was Michael Bennett. We all know he's been in some troubles here lately, but he's not a guy that was treated like that high upper echelon player in Seattle's locker room or one of the higher paid players or superstar players. Yes, he was a significant player for them, but he wasn't a guy that was treated as such. So I like the Eagles still having their flexibility, but not having as many dominant personalities as the Rams. But I think the Rams situation can work out, but it's definitely risky.
Okay. And Miles, how about you, man? When you look around, you see the Eagles, you know, you see the Rams, the Bears, all these teams that are building around these young quarterbacks. I guess, which team's doing it the best in your view, or are you kind of with JR and riding with the Super Bowl champs?
Well, I mean, as of right now, you have to say the Eagles just because it worked for them the way they handled it last year. Even though it wasn't Carson Wentz that ended up winning the Super Bowl, the team in itself, the way they constructed it, that's who won it. With the Rams, if they lost Jared Goff today, but let's say, like, you know, during the season, did they have a backup quarterback to be able to do to do what Nick Foles did? I don't see it. Sean Mannion is their backup quarterback right now, so that's definitely not the right philosophy. I think that's where they kind of need to upgrade. But overall, though, I really do like what the Rams are doing. I think, you know, the market that they have in LA, I think they're taking a huge advantage. Especially they got the jump on the Chargers in terms of selling the new stadium, selling tickets, getting season ticket holders in place for the future, and getting people invested in the LA Rams over the Chargers just by, you know, being competitive early on in LA. That's so important for them, just because if they're not going to be relevant, people aren't going to care about them. So you want to be relevant. You want to sell tickets. You want to be the hottest name in football, and because you're in one of the biggest markets in football. So go get those star-studded players. You're in Hollywood. That could be a little bit of the issue, though. Like what JR mentioned is the guys that they got that did get, you know, with the personalities that they have, being in Hollywood, being in LA, that could be kind of a little bit of a problem you could end up seeing. But the way they're constructing their team, they have so many good, young, talented players. They didn't really bring in anyone too many aging players. I think the guys that they're bringing in are core nucleus guys, and even if it means, losing out on one or two of them down the road, I think they're okay with that just because they've built such a strong, star-studded group at the top, you know, with Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, Marcus Peters, you know, guys like that, guys that, you know, probably are going to be around for a while. So, and then you go get Brandon Cooks. So I really like what they did. You're literally giving a guy like Jared Goff no excuses, kind of what the Eagles are doing with Carson Wentz. You know, no excuses. You know, you're playing on a rookie contract. We've built, you know, this loaded roster around you guys. Let's see what we can do. So I think I like the way the Rams are doing it. I think it is a lot riskier than what the way the Eagles are doing it, just because the Eagles tend to trade later round picks for proven players, they haven't traded too many high round picks for proven players. So I think that's so they can still build through the draft a little bit easier than the Rams can now. But I kind of like both. I like the way that both are doing things, but I'd probably have to say you got to stick with the Eagles, but I do like what the Rams are doing. Definitely.
That's fair. And there's one thing that you brought up there that I've also read a little bit where people, I guess the problem that people say the Rams will have, because they don't really have any long-term commitments right now, they are going to have to figure some things out as they get to 2019 and beyond. I guess, what are your thoughts on kind of that criticism of the Rams strategy where, like, well, they're going to have to figure out how to pay all these players as they move down the road?
Well, I mean, they definitely already have a plan in place. If, like, there's a reason most of these guys aren't signed long-term. They have a plan in place. I think they're trying to play out, you know, how things go. They're trying to make sure that they're doing it the right. After they get the players that they want, you kind of got to determine who can you afford to lose, who aren't the guys that aren't as important. So I think I think you'll start to see this summer, though. I think you'll see a couple of these guys get extended long term, just so that they can kind of make sure that they do shore up some of these big name guys. You know, I think obviously Aaron Donald is going to get done this summer. I think I could see LaMarcus Joyner could be another one of those guys. It sounds like intention is to extend a guy like Brandon Cooks, even though he's never played with them before. So I think guys like that, you know, you make sure you have a lot of those positions solidified. And I would assume Marcus Peters after, you know, potentially maybe this season that's who another guy they'd want to extend, but they want to kind of see how he meshes with their team first. That could be one of those scenarios. But long-term guys, you know, like Aqib Talib, I don't think they really care about his long-term future just because they're trying to obviously win now, but he's, you know, kind of toward the back end of his career. He's not a guy that's going to – he's a guy you could replace eventually. So I think what they're doing, I think they're planning on making those extensions, and I'm sure they're already in talks with a lot of those guys. They're just trying to figure out how the best approach they want to do it and, you know, who's going to get what, because the pecking order starts at Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's going to get QB money. So from there, you got to know what those dollars are going to look like and what that contract's going to look like so that – you can plan ahead for guys like Jared Goff, you know, in 2 years, who's going to get a major, more than likely going to get a top dollar type quarterback contract. So you kind of got to play that out. You can't just, you know, start throwing money around.
Awesome. 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 And Saxy Prince, what are your thoughts on kind of how these teams are building around their young quarterbacks here and bringing in either proven talent or, you know, signing veterans for the long term, really spending and giving these young quarterbacks, as Miles kind of said, no excuses to not succeed. And which team do you think is doing the best job at it?
I'm going to kind of echo with what both of them were saying. I think Eagles are doing it the right way. Something that we've known for a while that, you know, there's kind of this ebb and flow with free agency in the draft where, you know, draft class is fairly weak at a certain position. Excuse me. You know, the free agency kind of helps balance that out and vice versa. I think the problem with the Rams is like, yeah, they have to pay everyone at the same time, but they also have to, you know, if there's a guy that they somewhat covet, they have to lock him up, you know, versus, you know, being able to let that guy either test the market or, you know, really go out and seeing what's there. I mean, it doesn't necessarily like stop them from doing that. It's just that, you do really want to kind of keep your own guys because if you keep the same system, you want to make sure that, you know, you have players there that they'll be able to perform the system at, you know, peak level. So I don't like having to make all those decisions in 1 year. I like, you know, having to make, you know, maybe two or three, maybe four guys at a time, like kind of like what the Vikings are in. You know, they had to make a few decisions last year and the year before that. And then, you know, going to this season, you know, there's Barr, there's Diggs, you had to start thinking about Hunter, some of those other guys. But imagine having to do like all of our top name guys all at the same time. You know, that's why they locked in, you know, some of our defensive guys last season. So I prefer the Eagles method just because it's less that you have to deal with all at one time. And I think I don't know if I can necessarily say it'll help you from making a wrong decision, but it makes you. Not make a rush decision, I guess I would say. So I'm definitely more for what the Eagles are doing.
Okay. And I guess, you know, I'll just throw in an honorable mention for the Chiefs and for the Browns. I think that the Chiefs, just with the positions that they have locked up with the elite tight end with Travis Kelce, bringing in Sammy Watkins to go along with Tyreek Hill, matching the skill set of the receivers to you know, Patrick Mahomes and that big arm. I think that'll be something that'll, if nothing else, be fun to watch, because the Chiefs defense is terrible, so they'll probably put up a lot of fantasy points on that team. And then the Browns with you know, Gordon, Landry. I'm still a believer in Corey Coleman, if he can drink some milk and not break any bones this year. David Njoku, Duke and Carlos Hyde. I think that's a nice core of offensive talent to go along with what was a fairly decent offensive line. We'll see what happens at left tackle with Joe Thomas retiring. But for whomever the Browns draft at what we will assume will be the first pick, should be coming into a pretty favorable situation. So that's where I would go with that one there. And All right, let's move into some draft stuff here. And I guess, you know, well, we are known as a Vikings pod, so, you know, we'll have a little bit of Vikings specific stuff here. So before we get to the mock draft, JR, I'm going to start with you. We're going to go through this one pretty quick here. JR, who is your draft crush for the Vikings that you hope they get after round one?
Oh, well, my guys, I was going to take yours, Jason, but I'll let you have Frank Ragnow because I know that's probably what you're going to say.
No, it's fine. But you can take him. You know, you can just go ahead and you know, spit the gospel for both of us on Frank.
No, nah, I'm good. I'll keep the answer different. I'll say Lorenzo Carter. Lorenzo Carter is my guy. He's a guy I've been banging the table for months now. I think his upside is off the charts. I mean, he's 6'6", 250 pounds, ran a 4.4 at the combine. Guys that move like that, they just don't grow on trees. They don't come around very often. He has experience at outside linebacker and as an edge rusher, and that's perfect in Mike Zimmer's scheme, him having that versatility. So I think he'd be an ultimate chess piece in the Vikings defense.
All right, like it. Miles, how about you, man? Who's your crush? Let's see. Which wide receiver do we think, Miles? Miles, who are you going with? Which wide receiver are you hoping we pick up in the middle rounds here?
You know, I'm actually not going to go wide receiver.
What?
I know. There are a lot of guys that would really like to see them. I would be okay with them drafting a wide receiver. So, and I think they're going to address it. So it makes me a little more happy about it, I guess, in terms of where I think they're going to go there. But I'm going to give two quick names after the first round. I think they need to add a move tight end, a guy that's, you know, could be the potential long-term tight end. I think Dallas Goedert would be perfect. That'd be my ideal scenario. And if they were to trade back from round one and potentially even at pick 30 in round one. And then MJ Stewart from North Carolina, the cornerback, I think he could step in and be the nickel corner from day one. And I think he's a really good player in terms of mirroring. And I think he could even, you know, slide out outside if you needed him to, and potentially even move back to safety a little bit if that's an emergency situation you need him to. I'm a big MJ Stewart fan. Watching the last couple of weeks, you know, a little more than I was earlier in the process. So I really like him a lot. And I think, you know, in like the third round, early in the third round, if they wanted to address corner, I think he'd be the perfect guy to go grab.
Awesome. Yeah. And I saw you mention him, and then I think I saw JR, I don't know who said it first, but I saw you both kind of mentioning him around the same time and some a little bit of buzz around him on draft Twitter there. So it's an interesting name, and one that I know that I'll need to do a little bit more research on. Saxy Prince, how about you, man? Who's the player that you're really hoping that falls to the Vikings after round one that you've really been digging into here lately as we get into the draft?
I don't think it's much of a possibility anymore, but I love watching him on film. Isaiah Wynn, I think he would improve the Vikings offensive line immediately. I think he would kind of bring a little bit of nastiness to the offensive line. I just love watching him play, and it's not often that an offensive lineman catches my eye much like Isaiah Wynn does. So, I mean, obviously, Quentin Nelson did as well too, but I'm just saying, like, Isaiah Wynn would probably be my draft crush if he falls, you know, to 30. I would love to pick him. So,
but the question was after the first round, though. So, I mean, if he falls to 30, he is disqualified from this discussion.
I thought we were still doing. I thought we were still doing after the first round.
Okay. After the first round.
After the first round. Miles kind of took my dude Dallas there. Give me a second. I need to think about a guy real quick.
All right. Well, I'll jump in and talk for you while you're going through and thinking of your guy. And JR is right. I think Frank Ragnow is the guy that I would roll with here. He is a player that seemingly has fallen, not really under the radar. You just haven't heard a lot of buzz from him. But when you go and you dig in and look at, you know, some of the numbers from Pro Football Focus, you know, he's been a dominant player On the PFF Forecast podcast, Eric and George have started digging into, you know, PFS pass blocking grades and looking at how they translate from, you know, college to pros, and just, you know, the stats that Frank Ragnow's put up over the last two seasons from a blocking perspective and of what they hinted at today. I think there's an article that'll be dropping in the next day or so. It bodes well for his transition from college to the pros, and you know, he seems to be healthy now. He's athletic, can play multiple positions across the interior, which gives us some flexibility. And I think that, I'm hopeful that, you know, when that run on interior alignment starts around the middle of the second round, that he will be a player that is still on the board for us there towards the end of the second. So, yeah, that's my guy. Hoping he falls and that we can add him in and keep building up that the offensive line there to keep Mr. Cousins clean. Prince, you come up with anybody?
Yeah. there's definitely a chance this guy could get picked in the first round, but he might fall and likely will fall. Ronnie Harrison, Alabama safety. I think paired with Harrison Smith would be a kind of a nasty combo with both of them. I mean, it would still give you some flexibility because you still have Andrew Sendejo there, but, you know, you obviously could get a guy with a little bit more upside. So Ronnie Harrison would be a nice target in that second round.
He was in Minnesota yesterday.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Right. Two big name safeties were in Minnesota.
Yeah. So I think that they are at least trying to do their due diligence. If, you know, if the board doesn't fall the way that they want to, and they, you know, need to take best player available. So
NFL went and put that Sendejo rule in, and the Vikings were like, we need to bring somebody else in here. Can't be taking them 15-yard penalties every time Sendejo makes a tackle.
Got it. That's when you get suspended three times this year. So
Yeah. We're going to bring somebody who can keep their head up when they make a tackle. But all right. Got all that out of the way. We're going to jump into this thing. We're going to try to get now to our first CTP mock draft. First round only. No trades. We'll be rotating through the picks here, giving a real quick kind of bit of commentary on why we've chosen who we chose. And the key thing here is we're not trying to predict what the NFL is going to do. We're telling you what we would do with these picks and why. So before we hop in, just real quick here, I guess, you know, JR, as you kind of look at things here, and you're going into this, you know, as the GM, what philosophy are you bringing with you into the draft?
Well, I'm a guy that's a firm believer in building from the outside, from the inside out. I'm starting with the interior offensive and defensive lines. I'm a firm believer in building up the trenches. That's really what wins games. If you're strong in the trenches, I think you give yourself a lot of chances to win a lot of games. Obviously, you go out from there. Quarterback is obviously the next most position from there. And then you continue to fill in those other spots like cornerback and receiver and, you know, those glorified positions like that. So that's just a philosophy that I would use.
Okay. All right. And Mr. Gorham, how about you? When you come in here, you're putting on the GM cap. What is your team building philosophy that you'll be bringing to this first ever CTP mock draft?
Oh, it's just playmakers. Just add all the playmakers in the draft, just every round. It doesn't matter what else you do.
All right, no. So Miles is coming straight football guy here. We're going to bring some playmakers in who are gritty, hard-nosed, blue-collar. No, okay, so I'm sorry, Miles. Go ahead.
I'm just playing. I do really go with the idea that you should, what kind of JR said, building through the trenches, because that's what controls the game at the, you know, on both sides of the ball. So I think that's kind of the most important area to kind of address, and you want to make sure on the offensive side of the ball you have – you know, guys to protect your quarterback, and on the defensive side of the ball, you have guys who are helping get to the quarterback, which in turn helps your, you know, your secondary and your linebackers. So, I totally agree in that philosophy.
Perfect. And Saxy Prince, how many running? Okay, what is your philosophy on building your team here, and how many running backs are you gonna be picking in this mock draft as we get to it?
Well, I if it was my choice, 1 through 33 would just be all the top running backs.
33.
We adding an extra running
back. Expansion team.
I look at some of those key areas. You know, do you have a quarterback? Do you have someone protecting the quarterback, or do you have someone, you know, rushing the quarterback? If you really don't have one of those positions filled up, you really still need to fill it up. I'm really kind of targeting those guys. Otherwise, I am looking at some of those heavy areas of deficiency. You know, are you good in are you good at the cornerback DB position? You know, maybe you do need like a, you know, a stud linebacker. Maybe you do need a running back to just kind of put your running back crew over the top. But yeah, if I'm picking in the top 15 picks, you know, I'm kind of looking at, you know, one of those three that I kind of mentioned first, but then I'm starting looking at where do we need to, you know, solidify. And yeah, that's kind of been my philosophy.
Awesome. 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 And for myself, I'll be looking at this. I'm looking to add positions that I see is having the most overall value. So looking at your corners, receivers, tackles, and really going from there. And then, you know, there's going to be some points I imagine where, you know, my scouting department's going to have to step in and I'm just going to have to, you know, scoop up some value that fell down based on what my scouts. And by my scouts, of course, I mean JR and his big board and all the great work that he does there. But by and large, it's going to be trying to attack high value positions early in the draft, trying to lock up some of those, as JR calls them, glorified, what I would also call them, expensive positions early, and lock them up on some cheap rookie deals for a little while here. So with all that out of the way, we're going to go ahead and get this thing started. And at pick number one, picking for the Cleveland Browns, JR, you are on the clock. Let's get it.
I mean, everybody should know my answer is Josh Rosen. I think he's a day one starter for the Browns. Well, excuse me, he won't be a day one starter for the Browns. Tyrod Taylor will be the day one starter, but he's a guy you can sit behind Tyrod and groom him for the next few years. But you talk about a future of him, Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon, David Njoku, with that backfield, a tandem of Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde. I think he would be a great quarterback of the future for the Browns.
And help me understand why you're breaking from consensus here, because, you know, the consensus is Sam Darnold is the guy, he's the pick. Everyone seems to pretty much be locked in on that. I guess for you, why is it Rosen over Sam Darnold?
Well, I think the whole misconception about Josh Rosen's personality and his fit in Cleveland. But for me, that really isn't a big issue for me. I think I love his personality. I love that he wants to be the best quarterback possible, and I love that he wants to be pushed every day. So he's QB1 for me, and I think he'd be a great fit in Cleveland.
All right, Miles Gorham, you are up. Pick number two for the Giants.
Yeah, this is an easy one for me. If Jair's going Josh Rosen to the Browns, I think what a better way for the Giants than to get another personality like Eli Manning. Go get Sam Darnold from USC, quarterback. I think it'd be a slam dunk. I mean, he gets to sit behind Eli. He potentially gets to keep, gets to throw to a fantastic weapons in Odell Beckham Jr. if he doesn't get traded, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram. So there's a lot for him to like there. They added Nate Solder, the left tackle. So I think, like I said, he gets a year to sit, and he gets an opportunity to just kind of learn and work with a guy like Pat Shurmur. So I think it'd be a great fit for him.
Awesome. Yinka, next up, picking for the Jets. Yeah. Who you got, man?
Yeah, man. I think the biggest thing the Jets have need for, you know, past couple of years, they need to solidify their quarterback position. So I'm going Baker Mayfield out of Oklahoma. I think he's going to be going into a wonderful quarterback room. He will have Josh McCown. He'll have Teddy Bridgewater. You know, they might even have another guy that they bring in maybe late that gets cut or something. But I think he'd be going into a great situation as far as having enough minds to really make him prepared as a pro. And I don't know if he'll be the day one starter, but I think if you're drafting him that high, he almost has to be. So I think that would kind of start the Jets to be on the up and up to, you know, really be a contender in the next couple of years. So Baker Mayfield, the Jets.
All right, and swinging it back around to the Cleveland Browns, I am picking Minka Fitzpatrick. As I mentioned, looking at the high-value positions first. So JR addressed the quarterback position at number one. The Browns have already pretty much solidified that receiving core with Landry, Gordon, Corey Coleman, and Juco. That's all pretty much wrapped up. Next big positions there for me are the people who stop guys from catching the ball. So Minka Fitzpatrick comes in with some of that positional versatility. Played corner, played safety, coach on the field, guy to come in, help solidify them at a position that they need. So Fitzpatrick is my pick. And we'll move it right along to JR, pick number five with the Broncos.
Yeah, so we're going to continue the offensive line overhaul here for the Broncos. So we're going to take Quentin Nelson, slide him right at that right guard position. Last year they signed Ron O'Leary to play left guard, drafted Garrett Bowles, obviously, and then traded for Gerald Veld here. And Matt Parise is at center, so they still have a big hole at right guard. We got to get some protection for Case Keenum. Thought about a quarterback here, but they seem to still believe in Paxton Lynch. So I'm going to get a guy to protect Case Keenum and take Quentin Nelson.
All right, all right, all right. And bringing it back around to Mr. Gorham here, pick six with the Colts. Who you got?
Yeah, I think Jared, it would have been between, you know, for me, Quentin Nelson, which Jared just took for the Broncos, but or it's Bradley Chubb for the Colts, the edge rusher from North Carolina State. And for the Colts to be able to, you know, trade back three spots to get the guy, one of the two guys that they coveted anyways, and Quentin Nelson and Bradley Chubb, I think that's a home run. You had three second-round picks to trade back to get the guy you wanted all along. So it's a slam dunk. They need edge rushers. They need help there. So why not go get the best one?
All right. Makes some sense. Yanka, number seven with the Bucks.
Yeah, I think I think we're all in agreement that we love this guy. Thank you. He's somewhat of a you know, cheat code back there, but Derwin James out of FSU, the Bucks can just, you know, use another weapon in their backfield, and I think they would really love Derwin James's talent. He comes into a secondary that's I think desperately needs a guy like him. So there's not much to say there. Just Derwin James out of FSU.
All right, and for me here at eight with the Bears, and this is where I went back and forth a little bit on the picks. Still, as always, looking to target those high-value positions early. Think it's too early for a wide receiver or anything like that. Already got already solidified their position in free agency. So I'm going to target a cornerback here, and this is where I'm going to trust my scouting department, trust the board, and I'm going with Jair Alexander, cornerback out of Louisville, coming off the board for the Bears. And with that, we move it along to number nine with the 49ers and JR.
Yeah, so this is a team that's really positioned themselves to take the best player available on the board. Obviously, they have some good additions in Jerick McKinnon and Richard Sherman, who was their two headliner additions. So I'm going to go with Roquan Smith here. I think they need a guy in the middle of their defense. We don't know Ruben Foster's situation and how long his suspension will be, or what his off-the-field situation currently is. So we need to get ourselves a security blanket. And I think Ruben Foster, or I think Roquan Smith, can be that guy.
Okay, number 10 with the Raiders. And I'm sure this pick, by the time the draft rolls around, will be traded for you know, a retiring player or something like that. But for now, Miles, who are you picking for Gruden and the Raiders at 10?
Surprisingly, they get one of the younger players in the draft, Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker for Virginia Tech. Jer, again, we're in a situation where for me it was an either or. You know, if the 49ers take Tremaine Edmonds, the Raiders, I expect them to go Roquan Smith. So you get a really athletic young linebacker in Tremaine Edmonds who can, you know, play sideline to sideline. He can rush the passer. He can play inside. He can play outside at linebacker. So I think he'd be a great fit for the Raiders and add a lot of physicality and athleticism to go with Khalil Mack that they already have.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yinka, number 11 and the Dolphins. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins just lost Ndamukong Suh, so I think you want to find another weapon in that interior to plug back in. So Vita Vea out of Washington. I think you can
put it's him in Vita there. Vea. It's
Vita Vea, okay.
It's actually his name. A real quick story. Adam Schefter tweeted out his like legal name, and it's like, 12.
Yeah, it's Tevita Vita Tulukioni. I'm butchering all of that, but yeah, he has like eight names, man. But yeah, no, I think the Dolphins could use another weapon in the interior after losing Sue. He's 6'5", 340 pounds, so could probably be your nose guy, but also maybe has some decent pass rushing ability as well too. So. You're losing Sue, but you're getting to replace him with Vea. So
And on this one, this is one where, you know, again, you know, here at Climbing the Pocket, the board that we trust is the board from one Jordan Reed. And you kind of went off script there and kind of, you know, jumped it and with an interior lineman that's a little bit, you know, further down JR's board, I guess. Why do you go here instead of, you know, a Hurst or someone else that may be a little bit more well-known?
Yeah, I know that as far as Hurst, I know that the heart condition is going to scare people a little bit, scare some teams away. I don't think that it should, but I definitely feel as if Villa is still a good player, even though, you know, he definitely could be a fringe first round guy or fall the second round. But Hurst, I like him better. But like I said, I think teams might let some of those like things push players down further than they probably should be. So I think they probably will want to go with a guy that they don't have any many of those physical issues and whatnot. So that was kind of my thinking behind it.
Okay, that makes sense. And moving along here at pick 12, I have the Bills, and I know conventional wisdom here says the Bills will be drafting a quarterback, but again, this is what we will do in this situation. And given the treatment of one Tyrod Taylor by the Buffalo Bills and what they've said that they are looking for in a quarterback, I cannot see the Bills taking Lamar Jackson at this spot. Think it would be too early for him anyway. Josh Allen is not good, so I am not picking him here. Next position that I think is a huge need for the Bills is defensive back. So for the Bills, I'm going with Denzel Ward, cornerback out of Ohio State. If you're signing Vontae Davis and hoping that he's going to play real valuable minutes for you, you probably need help at the cornerback position. And so that is why I've picked Denzel Ward for the Bills. Rolling along here to 13, JR. With Washington, who are you picking?
Yeah, so a lot of people are probably wondering, like, man, how in the world did this guy slip so far? Well, Washington is elated that he's stuck on the board and he slipped this far. Going to take Saquon Barkley here. Experienced a bit of a slide. The Redskins only have Rob Kelly, Chris Thompson, and they spent a fourth-round pick on Samaje Perine last year, but none of those guys have the upside and instant impact abilities of Saquon Barkley. So I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley right here.
JR, I did want to ask you about that. You know, with them picking Samaje Perine in the third round, correct? Was it fourth round?
Fourth round.
Last year? Yeah. You still feel like they would, you know, maybe look at the quarterback position or not the quarterback, but running back position like this early?
Yeah, I think they would, because I think a guy like – they seem to be wanting a running back really early. They had a heavy presence at Darius Geis's pro day the other day and also at Saquon Barkley's pro day as well. So the Redskins, I don't know if it's a smokescreen or not, but the feels that they are giving right now is that they want to take a running back. That's the vibe that they're giving everyone right now.
Okay. All right. JR violating draft commandments early, but it's all right. It makes some sense. You know, Saquon Barkley is a he's JR's number two position, two player overall. So, I mean, again, you know, gets good value, makes some sense. Miles. And unfortunately, you have the honors of drafting for the Packers at 14. So what player are you picking for the Packers that we hope will bust?
So out of, you know, my hatred for them, I couldn't give them my favorite player, my number one corner, Mike Hughes, here, because I know they need cornerback help. But I did give them an edge rusher. I gave them Marcus Davenport from UTSA. I think, you know, their two biggest needs, it was, you know, edge rusher and defensive back. And I think, you know, depending on how the board falls, the best scenario for them is a guy like Marcus Davenport. I even thought about Harold Landry here. So I thought this was a good fit for them. They need to add some athleticism to that defense, and I think he'd be a good fit for them.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Moving things right along here. Prince, pick 15, Cardinals. Where are you going with it?
I'm staying with the trend of wanting to protect past Vikings quarterbacks. Sam Bradford went to Arizona, and you know that he's had his injury history. So wanting to protect him is a big thing. So I thought it best to just give him a weapon on the on the offensive line. So Connor Williams from Texas, just because I think the Cardinals don't have the greatest offensive line. And that's just another guy that you can to protect Sam Bradford. So you got to protect that $20 million investment.
Speaking of protecting, you know, big investments, that would basically be the reasoning behind my pick coming up here for the Ravens as well. We're going with Mike McGlinchey. Tackle is obviously a very important position, protecting your quarterback. Ravens obviously have Joe Flacco on the books for a lot of money. McGlinchey is the top-rated tackle on our board, so he's who I'm picking. And rolling it back over to JR here at 17 with the Chargers.
Yeah, so the Chargers, I think they have one of the better underrated defenses in all of the NFL, but they still don't have that guy in the middle that's a tone setter. Their projected starting linebacker right now is Hayes Pullard. I've never heard of that guy before in my entire life. So I think they need a guy to plug and play in the middle. And I'm going to go Rashawn Evans right here.
All right. And we have a player who made it through the draft here not very long ago that JR doesn't know. That might be a first. Miles at 18 with the Seahawks. What are we doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, they let go of Richard Sherman. You know, they've basically gotten rid of the Legion of Boom. I think if you wanted to kind of replicate what Richard Sherman brought, you know, in the younger years, back when he was in his prime, I think Josh Jackson, I'm not as high as a lot of people are on him, but I think in terms of what his skill set is playing in a cover three scheme, he's a ball hawk. I think he could kind of come in and at least eventually develop into the hope would be for him to develop into kind of a Richard Sherman type of cornerback. So I think he would fit perfectly in what they needed to do there. I also thought about going offensive line here, but the guys that I would have probably taken there are, you know, were gone, and Connor Williams and Mike McGlinchey. So I thought Josh Jackson was a good fit.
All right. Saxy Prince, who you taking for America's team?
That's funny. I think we all kind of know that the relationship between I'll say this. I actually really wanted to go corner here. Some of the top corners have been taken off the board. Still some more names on there. But I do think because of the relationship between Dez Bryant and the Cowboys, you know, they're probably trying to look for another playmaker that they can replace Dez Bryant with. So I don't know if this guy will be the first wide receiver taken off the board. But Cortland Sutton, SMU, I do think he has the athletic ability. You guys obviously brought to my attention, really not the greatest route runner, whatnot, but maybe that won't matter considering what they decide to do with them. But I chose wide receiver because I do think that they probably want to move on from Dez Bryant. Hasn't really been that wide receiver one for a while, so Cortland Sutton would probably be their wide receiver one. Really from day one. So that's why I went with him.
All right. And for me, I have the Lions at 20. Miles mentioned him a little bit earlier, but I'm going with Harold Landry, edge from Boston College. You know, as we go back a year ago, before the draft, people were talking about him as a potential top 10 pick, probably a little bit too rich, but he came in, tested really well athletically. The Lions have really very little in terms of, you know, edge rushers and guys who can get to the quarterback. And so that's the reason I went with Harold Landry for the Lions at 20. JR at 21, what are you doing with the Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, this is an easy pick. We all know they need help along the interior offensive line. And I'm going to take the best guy available on the board, and that's Isaiah Wynn from Georgia. I think he's a plug-and-play option for them, opposite of Clint Bowling at right guard.
Perfect. Miles, what are you doing here? Next pick up, number 22 with the Bills. Who are you picking?
Yeah, so this was another tough one. I almost went quarterback here too, which I probably should have, but I think I went with my wide receiver one, DJ Moore from Maryland. I think take quarterback at some point, but why not get, you know, whatever quarterback they're going to play, another weapon. You got Zay Jones doing whatever Zay Jones was doing a couple weeks ago. And they don't really have many other weapons in the, you know, at receiver. They got Kelvin Benjamin coming back, but he's not a guy I'd rely on. and they got Charles Clay, but it's nothing too great. So I think adding a guy like DJ Moore would be a great fit. He can do a little bit of everything for them, and he'd step in and immediately, you know, bring a boost to that offense.
Awesome. And, Saxy Prince, obviously, the league threw a bit of a curveball on you here. And so now you have the Patriots at 23. Which direction are you going with this pick?
Yeah, I originally with Rams or not. Yeah, with the Rams, I originally had them, taking a offensive lineman, this offensive lineman specifically. And then the Patriots move. And I'm like, well, I do still think that they need help along the offensive line. They lost Nate Solder. So I decided to go with Will Hernandez from Texas El Paso. I think he's a great offensive lineman, especially you're getting this late in the draft. Definitely can help booster that offensive line. Tom Brady is really a lot older now, doesn't really move that much, so it'd be great to have some protection up front. So I kept the pick as is just because I think it would still help out with the Patriots.
All right, and for myself here, rolling into pick 24 with the Panthers, I'm going with Justin Reed, safety out of Stanford. When you look at that Panthers roster, especially as you get into the defensive backs there, safety is quite barren. They are in need of a talent upgrade and an infusion of some youth playmaking ability at that position. So I have gone with Justin Reed for Stanford for the Panthers because I think that he'll be a great fit for them there. JR, 25 with the Titans. What are you doing, my man?
Yeah, so they just hired Mike Vrabel recently, and I think they're going to take a defensive guy or a defensive prospect. They're going to try to build up that defense. Why not start in the middle? They lost a guy, Avery Williamson, to the Jets, so now they need somebody to replace him at that right inside linebacker spot. So I'm going to go with Leighton Vander Esch from Boise State. I think he's a perfect fit for them in the middle.
Okay, Leighton Vander. Can you tell us a little bit about him? Because I'm not going to lie, he's a player that I've seen on draft Twitter a little bit, but I'd never seen him play a snap. What's the scouting report on him?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's a good prospect. I like him. Still raw at the position. He's only been a one-year starter, but he's an interesting story. Started as an eight-man football player in high school. He walked on at Boise State. He was only like 6'2", 180 pounds. Came in, wasn't even a linebacker, started off as a safety for him. Worked his way up through their system. Ended up being conference defensive player of the year. Like I said, he's very raw. But he shows some really explosive traits. Best game was probably against Oregon, where he was just flying all over the field. Has very good instincts, but he's still relatively new to the position, so he's still learning exactly how to play it. So it's really a potential and upside pick with him, hoping that his best days are ahead of him.
Awesome. And Miles, rolling into 26 with the Falcons. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm going. They just lost Dontari Poe after giving him a one-year deal, and I think that's kind of where their biggest need is on the defensive side of the ball. And getting a guy to work next to Grady Jarrett and, Tack McKinley, I think adding Deron Payne out of Alabama would be a great fit here. He'd come in and he's not just a one-gap plugger, too. He can get to the quarterback a little bit. He can make some plays, wreak havoc. So I think you had him next to Grady Jarrett, I think that'd be a really good duo moving forward.
Okay. Saxy Prince, next up here, 27 for the Saints. Who are you picking?
Yeah, this pick kind of pained me a little bit just because I love this guy. He's probably my draft crush of this from this year, but Saints, Drew Brees, they just signed another deal, but obviously Drew Brees is getting older. They need to find their next franchise quarterback, and who better than a guy like Lamar Jackson, who can step in and really sit behind Drew Brees and really just learn the position. I know that he has some issues that he still needs to clean up, some Fort Worth type stuff, some accuracy issues, but again, who better to learn from than a guy like Drew Brees? And, it just felt like a right fit for Lamar to go to New Orleans. So that's why I chose him.
Yanka Lovina, quarterback from Louisville. Who would have thunk? Well, all right, moving to 28. I am picking for the Steelers here. Picking a player that I know I've given Miles a fair amount of grief about, but you know, again, we got to trust our board, trust the scouts, and the value was too great to pass up here for the Steelers. So I've gone ahead and picked Calvin Ridley, wide receiver out of Alabama. Everyone knows Martavis is like a strike away from never playing again. So Calvin's another player who can come in, probably be an immediate contributor, give them another weapon out there for Big Ben as he winds things down in his career. So that is the reasoning why, and that is the player I've chosen. JR, 29 and the Jaguars. Who are you picking?
Yeah, so this is a whole – well, this is a team that doesn't have a lot of holes on his roster, very deep roster. We all know their defense is loaded. They seem to have a firm belief in Blake Bortles going forward. So why not add another weapon to his arsenal? Yes, they've added Niles Paul and Austin Seferian Jenkins to the fold at tight end, and they're parted ways with Mercedes Lewis. But I still think they need that young option to pair with Austin Seferian Jenkins for the long haul. So I'm going with a high upside prospect in Mike Gesicki, the tight end from Penn State. I think he would be a great option for Blake Bortles in the passing game.
JR, right. I have a question. I have a real quick question for you. After losing both Hearns and Robinson, I am a little surprised at tight end. What was your thinking behind that?
Well, I mean, you could go receiver right there, but I mean, they seem to like Moncrief, who just got there. He was a high priority signing, and Marquise Lee. And I mean, you're right. They could go receiver, but I just didn't see the value right here, especially with Ridley and Moore and Sutton off the board. So I just think it's a drop off from those next guys. And I don't think any of those, the rest of the bunch, was just worth a first rounder. But you got a guy like Gesicki, who essentially is a big wide receiver on the perimeter and is more of a bigger threat than the guys that you already have in the stable. So I think he was more of a better pick that fits than forcing a pick at wide receiver.
Awesome. All right. Well, Miles, my heart is broken because JR went and took the guy I would want for the Vikings, for the Jaguars.
Of course. That's what he usually does.
Yeah, that's how he does there. So, Miles, at 30, what are you doing for our Minnesota Vikings?
This was a tough one for me just because, obviously there's, if you're looking at offensive line, Isaiah Wynn would have been a perfect scenario for me. He'd have been a guy I would have wanted. Maurice Hurst is still available, but I'm still a little uncertain there, and I think offensive line is a little bit more of a need. And then you look at guys like Frank Ragnow, I think it would have been a little too early for me to snag him, not saying that I wouldn't. But and then same with Billy Price. Billy Price coming off that torn pec, I don't think that warrants a first-round pick, in my opinion. I mean, you'd never know how long that could really linger. I know people said 3 to 4 months, but you never really know, and that's not something I want to worry about, at least – in the first round. So I picked James Daniels, the interior O lineman out of Iowa. He's super athletic. He's still only 20 years old, so he's one of the youngest players in this draft class. He's got position flexibility, so he could come in and start at right guard right away. Like I said earlier, super athletic, so he's a type of guy in the type of scheme that John DeFilippo is going to run. Is he wants his interior guys to be able to move. And I think, out in the screen game, get him on pulls and everything. James Daniels is, I think, the ideal fit for what this offensive line is looking for at their right guard position. And I think if you need him to slide into center to play there too, he's got a lot of experience playing there too. So I think out of the guys that are left on the board that, kind of based on what was left, that's the route I'd go if we're talking offensive linemen. Besides the Isaiah Wynns, the Mike McGlinchey's, Connor Williams, even Will Hernandez, I'm taking James Daniels.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Saxy Prince, picking again for the Patriots. What are you doing at 31?
I'll preface it with this. Before I knew this quarterback, I mean, we all kind of discovered off air that this quarterback hadn't been chosen. So, because of the fact that I believed in irony, I chose Mike White for the Patriots. However, after discovering this quarterback hadn't been taken off the board, and obviously the Patriots, they do, again, they're another team like the Saints that do need a successor. So I chose Josh Allen out of Wyoming. I think he'd probably be a really good fit in New England, to be honest. He would be, again, be able to sit behind Brady. you know, learn a lot from him, as well as, you know, really get to move along slowly. He's probably not a guy that will in his, maybe not in his first year, just come on the scene and just explode. But I do think if he does sit behind, you know, a guy that's future Hall of first ballot Hall of Famer like Tom Brady, that he would we'd probably get to see more of the, you know, the great attributes of Josh Allen, and maybe not so much some of those drawbacks that he has. So chose Josh Allen for the Patriots.
Okay, and last, and I'm going to say certainly not least, since it's my pick, for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's not really a position of need. It's just this player, just based on the value attached to him on the board here, and the fact that he has fallen so far. A couple of you have mentioned him, but Maurice Hurst is my pick here. Again, it's a position at which the Eagles are already deep. But the stories are coming out that, you know, folks out of Michigan are vouching for his health. We'll see if he gets that clean bill of health between, you know, now and the draft. But if that happens, the value here is just too much to pass up. So that is where I went with it. Maurice Hurst going to the Eagles to make a position of strength even stronger for them. And that's it. That is the first CTP first round mock draft. You're still with us. Obviously, we want your feedback. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know how we did. Tell us about how much you hate all the picks that we made, and how stupid we were to think that player would be available when they were, and all of those other good things. All the feedback. We want to hear it from all of you. And with that, we're going to wrap things up. Before we do, I'm just going to go down the line real quick. So, JR, I feel like I know the answer, but, you know, working on the draft board, getting that all finalized. Is that the all-consuming thing that's kind of taking up all your time? Or is there anything else going on for you out there?
Yeah, that's the thing that's taking up all my time right now. Long days, long nights, working on that, trying to finalize it and get that out Monday.
Awesome, awesome. Good stuff. Mr. Gorham, what's going on, man? What you working on?
Yep, finishing up my top five rankings, and then finishing up a little article I did of a mock draft. So that's about it.
Awesome. Love it. Prince, what's going on with you, man? Now that you've, I guess pro day is in the rear view mirror, you can take a break from footwork and running sprints. I guess, is there anything in the hopper for you in terms of articles or anything like that we should be looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to take a page out of JR and Miles' book. And, this is really mock draft season. So I think I'm probably going to finally do one just before the draft really kicks into gear. And then, yeah, I probably might do some kind of like top five per positions type thing. But yeah, other than that, I'm excited. Drafts in less than a month. So really just waiting for that.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And I'm going to try to write some stuff this weekend, but I don't want to talk about it yet. I need to get the inspiration to sit down and lock myself in the room and start typing away. But I hope to knock out a couple articles over the weekend to release over
it's
the
tough to do, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, like you got to be in the right frame of mind to write stuff. I know what I want to write about. It's just I need to get the feeling that's right so I can get it on paper.
I've always found it like it's really, really hard to just like, okay, at, you know, Tuesday night at like 7 o'clock, that's when I'm going to write this article or whatever. It's normally my approach is I'll start to think about stuff and then I'll just start writing it out. And then obviously clean it up as it needs fits. But it's definitely helped way more as far as my process to just be able to write that kind of organically than the, you know, force thing where you're constantly forgetting, you know, maybe some points that you wanted to make and then the article isn't exactly where you wanted it to be. But
yeah, for me, I just got to get these
kids. Yeah, that'll work for you.
No, I just got to get the kids.
Yeah, out. That you
know,
too.
can we help? No. What are you working on? Let's go play. And then, you know. That's what it is. So at some point this weekend, try to get the kids with the grandparents and then try to knock out some stuff here for draft and some things to throw up on climbingthepocket.com. But listeners,
guarantee you though, if your daughter came to you and said, "Daddy, I don't think a running back should be taken before the third round." Actually, you know what? If you want to help with this article, you can.
I would definitely let her help. I definitely let her help write the article for sure, for sure, for sure. And she knows, you know, you shouldn't be taking running backs early. She does know this already. They both do. but with that said, listeners, thanks for sticking with us through this first mock draft. Again, all your feedback, send it to us. We definitely want to hear it all. My name is Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter, Brown Jason, here with the man, JR, Miles, and the Saxy Prince. And yeah, we will talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.